Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Lubbock Sports Medicine. Great team of doctors. Kevin's in my class at church now, and I did a spot for him at the class Sunday.
Just Lubbock Sports Medicine.
He didn't know I was going to do one, but I did. They're just that kind of people. They're just such good people, and they're absolutely the best in the business.
We're fixing to go down and get a new knee from them.
Good. Well, they got some in stock.
I say we. It's not me. It's Terry. We're waiting on the new.
Yeah.
The new model to come out, and then we're going to go down and
get some. My cousin Eddie had a surgery. It wasn't there, but it was out at North Star, wherever that is, out there on North Quaker. And they had to put it off a day because they didn't have the parts. So they had to go to the parts store and get it. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Had to go to the parts store. Well, Lubbock Sports Medicine has all the parts you need. And they're the pros in the business, I'll tell you. Go to LubbockSportsMed.com and check them out. And then Mighty Wash. And last week when Coach Kitley was here, we were talking about it's the coach's car wash. You know, we say that. Well, he got his card out. He's got a card that is official.
Ah.
It says Texas Tech Coaches.
You just swap it.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's a good deal. I'll get us one of those.
Do we have to be Texas Tech coaches?
Well, we'll act like we are. You know,
I'm going to hold this up and show everybody. Here, I'm going to put it in front of Gus's face. Oh, I can't put it in front of Gus's face. I was going to put it in front of Gus's face, but
no, you
I can't do it.
No.
Anyway, Gus, here's our four guys in the big leagues. Can you name them?
Yes, I can.
Of course he can.
One of them made his debut last night and became, our 36th big leaguer. It's Clayton Beter. It's Coulomb. It's Mashinsky. And, of course, Josh Young.
Listen to those names.
Yeah,
that's good names.
And even Young, you think, well, that's a normal name. Well, not really. It's J-U-N-G.
Yeah.
But then you got Beter. That's not a normal name. Majinski's not, the Idaloo Majinski's. And then you got
Coulomb.
Coulomb. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah.
There's now, a picture Coulomb's of those boys right there.
Name all 36 of them, Gus.
I can't do that. We can put a dent in it. We might be here a while.
We would flat be here a while, wouldn't we?
What are you doing? Yeah. Where are you right now?
Just in my basement. I'm about to go run errands and stuff. Once the Red Raider basketball team finally lost,
It was like the first round. I mean, that's not losing. It's like losing.
It took me off the road though for baseball. So,
oh, okay. Okay.
Although I think I am going to Kansas just to fill in for Jamie that weekend later on in April. But so I'm here and you know how that goes. You look out the back window and those weeds sure are getting tall. And,
yeah. There's some stuff to be done, isn't there?
Yeah, there is some of that kind of stuff. But you know what? It's supposed to be 70s today, so I got a little list of stuff I'm going to take care of and hang out with some friends tonight, so it'll be good.
If you get it done early, we may be putting together a new chicken cage.
Yeah. Coop.
Yeah.
Hey, you could have come in the studio today. I thought you
were. Hey, how long does it take you to get here? I bet it's 25 minutes.
No, not 25. Probably, I think it's right at 18 to 20, I think.
Okay. But, Suppose you drove the speed limit, how long would it take?
I'm able to utilize the freeway at 65 miles an hour, and then I get off at Milwaukee and drive all the way till it ends and becomes a dirt road out here at 130th. Yeah, it's about 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's too far to go.
Well, I sure don't mind being on there with you. Part of my issue today was that, like, at least when Coach Ash and I were texting back and forth last night, is you guys weren't exactly sure when you wanted me.
We're still not.
Well, that's fine. If Brennan hadn't texted, I was getting all ready for 9:40. So I was going to be over there throwing the cans in the recycle bin up there at United Supermarket instead of sitting out there doing the thing with you. And then he was like, hey, I think they're looking for you at 9:20 here. Well, that's even better.
Well,
so we're good.
Darn, was it supposed to be 9:40? I think you're right.
No, it's fine. I had texted you about it just to see. I was trying to push it into this first hour. So
you don't mind coming back on in 16 minutes, guys.
Whenever he said that and then you were checking, I said, I guarantee it's 9:40.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Gus had it right.
No doubt who's wrong in this deal.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into Texas baseball, I just read this yesterday. The average nine-inning game in the big leagues, 2 hours, 39 minutes, was 24 minutes shorter than 2023. That's a phenomenal difference. And that's what we've been saying for like 10 or 15 years now that, hey, guys, you got to speed this thing up because, you know, life's, you know.
Yeah, the thing they've cut down, obviously there's a limit to the mound visits. We know that. And that's true in college as well. But the pitch clock's the main thing. And what it's done is just sped up everything. You know, everybody knows that they got to get up there and go. And so a lot of the little side stuff, and they do get the one little timeout. So you'll see a lot of times a guy will get down in an 0-2 hole or foul off a thing and get down into a 1-2 deal and call for the little timeout, and I think you get an extra 20 seconds on that one. But it's the kind of thing that, just what you're saying, Coach Ash, instead of walking out of there after 3 hours and 10 minutes, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. You're like, that's noticeable.
Well, or walking out of there at 2 minutes and 40 minutes and missing the end of the game. I mean, I'll guarantee you, Tech baseball now, I bet they average over 3 hours a game. Now, they didn't last night because nobody scored, but a typical game is over 3 hours, and you're sitting there going, people are either coming late or leaving early because very few are just going to sit there for 3 hours. And especially if it's not a good game. And I heard this stat yesterday. We've only played, going into this series, one one-run game all year. Did you hear that?
Wow.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
I didn't double-check it, so I might literally be lying to everybody. But
well, now, and unfortunately, we've added two more here in the last 2 days. But, yeah.
And Central Florida's 8-1 in one-run games, and I think we were either 1-0 or 0-1 going into this thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm just sitting there going,
interesting. No, you're right. I mean, because most of us have about a 2 hour and 45-minute to 3 hour. You know, you better be compelling it once you get up there around 3 hours.
And, it needs to be a good game or we're going to go to dinner.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And college baseball at its worst, back before COVID, I can't remember. I heard the games, but there was a game that was like a 4-2 College World Series game, 4-2, just nine inning, you know, pretty well played, clean, what you'd expect in Omaha. And the game went like 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, and they're giving signs for every blooming thing and just overcoaching the dog out of it. And it was before pitch clocks and all that. And you're thinking, man, you guys are going to wreck this thing just because it's the time where the most eyeballs are on your sport. It's the pinnacle of your sport. And they're coaching it down to every pitch because every pitch does matter up there. But it's just like, does anybody just go out and play? Like, you know, and so the shift your guys and get them ready and then let's go.
I'm glad you repeated shift. That shift because I was like, it was a little iffy the first time you said
it. Yeah, it was a false start. It was a false start. I thought we had Kenny Perry in the room.
I thought Gus is really mad about this.
This upsets Gus to no end. But they're knocking 2 seconds off of the when runners are on base, they're knocking 2 seconds off from 20 to 18 seconds for the pitcher to this is genius, this stuff here.
Yeah.
And everybody's starting to get in the routine of it and it's not a big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, it feels like it's, and at least with regard to MLB games, it feels like it's fun to get back to the ballpark. You know, like those two games we went to last summer in Arlington were a blast. And of course you're seeing a good product there, that aside, but just, you know, it's a 2 hour and 40 minute deal. And that's kind of what I think about when I go to a sporting event. Most basketball games are what, 215, two and a half, maybe. If it's close and they get into all the timeouts and free throws and stuff, they can drag a little. But
Now that we're into the NCAA tournament, they probably are 2.5 hours because they're going to commercials and making
sure. No doubt about that. And most of them are compelling, and so everyone's using every timeout, and everyone's we're fouling and doing like the end of the Houston
game. And we've got reviews.
We've got close out of bounds play. I hated to see that. Really for Houston last night because I'm sitting here going, well, crap, Big 12's done. We're
yep.
Thanks for coming, fellas.
The toughest Nobody's conference in America. Eight. We're out.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And so I think that we now one of the narratives around that is just that does our conference just beat the tar out of each other to a point that we're banged up and bruised up as we get into the tournament. There's probably not enough data on that, but we could certainly look at Tech and go, oh, Darion Williams was hobbling around. They did everything they could to get him back on the floor just in time to play, and it affected his play against NC State. And
while we're on that, obviously Houston's main guy gets hurt last night. And he doesn't finish. We'd like to think Houston probably would have won if he stayed in there. You don't know that, but he probably would have. And then you're talking about our guy. I tell you one thing with the Big 12, which we're out of this thing, and there's still eight teams left, and we ain't got a one of them in there. Yeah. I was going to even count Arizona if they'd have made it, but I was going to count them as us, but they didn't make it either. But I think we play in such a tough conference that we're just beat down by the time – the tournament.
Man, it was rough this year. They let stuff go. It was when the game was over, you felt it. All season long in the Big 12, it was a rough league this year. But I agree with Gary. I think we're worn out when we got.
Because the very bottom of our conference was viable in basketball this year. You just never had that Vanderbilt deal or whoever it was that was just so bad. And somebody going to finish in last place. But then when you think about our league, think about us. Like, well, who is down at the bottom of our standings? You go, well, K-State, Cincinnati,
West Virginia.
Those are kind of the NIT teams. And you go, crap, those are the teams that took us to the wall, man. And you're going, that's the point here. It's like there was no night off at all. And you're talking about style of play. And, I just can't imagine, the survivors of this thing. Somebody's going to survive it and win it, and that's what we're going to do is call them survivors. But, it's going to point to more than ever, how deep are you? How deep is that roster? How deep can you be? How many good players? How much size? All of that. And I'm sure that's top of mind right now for Coach McCaslin.
And you mentioned the NIT. Let's throw those four teams that are left in there. That makes 12 teams that are left right now. Ain't any of them
Big 12.
Big 12 teams any.
Who are the four left in the NIT?
Right? I hadn't even paid attention to that.
Well, I hadn't either. It's just on this piece of paper right here. UNLV, Seton Hall, UC, Virginia Commonwealth, ECU, and Utah.
Well, Utah soon to be. We can wrap our. We can
let's
embrace
count them.
Them.
They'll
be
yeah,
here.
We'll
They'll be here
right.
next year.
We got
year.
One out of 12.
There we go.
Yeah, let's
They'll
count.
Be
them.
Here next year. Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought, what's your long as we're on basketball? What's your takeaway from all of this?
Ooh, in general, I'm still thinking it's going to be UConn that could how that goes. You feel really good about that right up until the go to bed tonight when all of the upsets take place.
Well, the surprise is NC State. And amazing what they've done, what they put together.
Yes. If they get a crew that calls stuff real tight, they're going to have trouble because they're going to get in foul trouble because they're bangers. They're tough.
They got Burns in there. He's a thug.
Yeah. Well, they had other guys
really
that walk on you.
Yeah.
It really does make you wonder how that group was 2-7 in their last nine games in conference
play this year.
I can't
believe it.
Coach was on the bubble to get fired.
Yeah.
Right.
Now you got a two-year extension.
Yeah.
I heard something about if Virginia had fouls to give, if they'd have just fouled NC State at the end, NC State wouldn't have won the game against Virginia.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and they won that game, and here they go.
Here they go. Isn't it crazy?
It's an interesting story. I'm sort of pulling for them.
Yeah,
I thought they were a bunch of thugs when we played them, but I'm watching them now, and it doesn't seem as bad.
They're good.
And
they're
I got
good.
To thinking, I got thinking this morning. When you're watching a game and it's your team playing somebody, look at those thugs we're playing now. There's somebody else playing them, and I got to thinking that's the same way with umpires and officials when they're calling your game. How bad do they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
They're all, but not every umpire and every official dislikes Tech, and they're not all screwing us,
Sure.
But when it's your team, you just look at it through different eyes.
It's less personal.
It's awful personal.
And then Alabama and Clemson, Gus. It's crazy that those two teams made it, and they're pretty good. And that kid from Alabama, I can't remember his name. That white kid he just flat went and won the game for him at the end of the game. He was tremendous.
And you just see Alabama Clemson, and what do you think about? I think about national championship football games, you know, for when those two.
I know playing, that's what they're you know, the coaches were even talking about that.
Well, here I'm gonna tie this into NIL. They're used to spending money at those football programs for players and athletes, so they may have the leg up on buying basketball players now.
Yeah, I'm sure there's resources, and you know there's a cultivated fan base there.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's used to reaching in their pockets.
Isn't it strange to y'all to be listening to the games, and you know they'd say, well, this kid went to high school at so-and-so, but now he was two other schools before he got here, some of them three other schools. And you're like, how?
I tell you what we're going to have to do is just not pay attention to – it's sort of like sausage. You don't necessarily want to know how the sausage is made. Or a restaurant. Don't go back in the kitchen, and you know, because you just may not eat there. If you pay too much attention to what's going on in the sports now, if you see how it's made and how they, just don't pay any attention to that, and just watch the whatever shows up next year for us.
Sure.
There they are. Let's go, Red Raiders.
If
you
painful,
pay too much attention,
painful.
It'll irritate you.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it sounds like Red Raider basketball will have a minimum of five slots to play with, and who knows, we may, you know, we, if there's a Pop Isaacs or somebody like that as well, so far so good. But you know, the point is that they are going to have enough slots to go out and really change that roster,
really get some, you know, people that, what a high school kid's gonna, what's gonna happen to high school kids? I think we're just looking at transfers primarily.
I do too. I think so this year for sure, David. And I think it starts to stratify. Of course, all I can ever do is compare everything to the baseball, but it's starting to stratify itself. Like, well, you come out of high school and then you go play A ball somewhere.
Work your way up into the money.
Yeah, and if you're really, really good, you get to go straight.
That's a good point.
Power
all right, 10 seconds
and have an impact.
Can you hang
on?
Hey,
Gus, you hear the music. Hey guys, at 9:40 today, we got Dr. Mike Gustafson is going to be on, and we're certainly looking
forward
to that.
That will be good.
We'll see him right after this.
All right.
Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Bedford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Senior Benefit Solutions of West Texas. This is the company here, Lori Kasler and Tanya Blackburn, that help you with Medicare. And they will do a tremendous job for you because it's what they do all the time. They work on this, and they know what it is. And they can get you the best coverage. Make sure you don't miss a loophole somewhere that you ought to be getting into.
Do not try to do it yourself.
No.
Don't do it.
It's just they make it confusing for some reason. I don't know why, but... anyway, they can help you. Senior Benefit Solutions of West Texas. They're out on 86th Street, and we're just off of University to the west. It's where you'll find them. All right, we're getting Coach James Dickey on the phone. As I think that's what Brenda's doing right now. It's 11 o'clock out in Morgantown, where he lives now. I asked him to move out there because, you know, he just always seemed to go back to Oklahoma.
Yeah, Stillwater.
Yeah, around that area, but. He said, yeah, what do you think? I said, I thought you were commuting.
Thought you was what?
Commuting.
Oh.
Every day back up to.
Well, I bet he kept his place.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got horses and.
We'll find out.
He'd kind of be a cowboy.
I think you can be a cowboy out in West Virginia, too.
Yeah, you can be a mountaineer. That's what you can be.
A lot more undulation.
All right, we got Coach James Dickey, former Red Raider coach. Back in the day, and boy,
yes,
great
he
years
was.
Here while he was here at Texas Tech from, what was it, Coach 91 to 2001.
That's correct.
You were the head coach. Well, we had some, those were fun. You know, I was thinking last night, watching the tournament. Every year when I watch the tournament, I think about Darvin Ham slamming the ball against North Carolina. that was fun.
Broke that backboard. I can remember what I was thinking. I thought, oh, my. We're going to lose all the momentum that we had going.
and we did.
Well, how long was the break to bring in a new – because, I mean, it's not like you got to order
minutes,
one and have it shipped in.
27 minutes.
27 minutes. 27
okay.
minutes.
I figured you'd know.
Because you're right, Coach. That was a big momentum right there.
And then Corey Carr came in and hit four straight threes, and then we were on a pretty good roll after that.
Yeah, I know. That was something. Well, now you're at West Virginia, and I got to tell you, I didn't know you were going to do this, and you didn't even check with us here. And boy, I was proud to see you on the bench. It's Gary and I were talking off the air about what a great blessing it is for whatever program gets you to come be a part, because you're just you're a big
that's
asset.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. I probably should have checked in with you guys and let you all negotiate my contract before I came up here.
Well, are you and Coach Eilert, are y'all good buddies?
I had coached against Coach Eilert. He played at Kansas State when I was at Oklahoma State. I knew him from a distance. My connection was obviously Wren Baker and Steve Urias.
Wren was Steve.
The athletic director. And then Steve, who had been my academic guy at Tech and then had obviously moved up into administration, he came here with Shane Lyons, who had been – you know, Shane Lyons was our compliance person after Bob Burton, and then Shane was from West Virginia, and he went to the ACC office, became the athletic director here at West Virginia, and then he came, or Steve came with him as the number two, and then when Shane left, Wren Baker came in. So my connection was with administration, but I did interview with Coach Eilert, and I told Wren, I said, I really want this to be his decision. I don't want you to pressure, but I obviously had a good entree with Steve and with Wren.
And Steve has since left, right? Was he there when you got there?
Oh, yeah. I worked with Steve the whole year, and he just left about a month ago to take the athletic director's job at Tarleton State, and I'm really happy for Steve and Margie. They have children in Frisco, Lubbock, and in the Austin area, so it's going to be right in his wheelhouse, and I'm glad he gets to – call his own shots, and he and Margie get to be close to their family. So happy for Steve.
We need to get Steve on the show.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah, he'd be you need to have Steve. He has a lot of great friends in Lubbock. He spent a lot of time there, both in with the academics and the Red Raider Club and in administration. And Steve's got a lot of
Perry Tipton's one of his dearest friends.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great people, and gave a lot to Texas Tech while he's there, and he'll be great for Tarleton State.
Yeah.
Well, he can get acquainted with the rodeo program there at Tarleton. And speaking of rodeo,
yeah, if you live in Stephenville, I told him, I said, man, you're going to have to get you some boots and a cowboy hat.
He is.
Without a doubt. But speaking of boots and cowboy hat, we were just talking about this. Did you keep your place in Stillwater?
I have sold everything right now except one small place in Arkansas that belonged to my parents, and I will do that eventually. But I still have a home there. My son Jared and his wife, they're expecting their first little girl in August. They're excited. So they live there, but I don't have any horses or cattle right now. I'm just I'm living in the mountains of West Virginia and have really enjoyed it.
I didn't know you'd ever sell that. I know you love it so much. You love the horses and the ranching and the whole deal.
I do, but I'm absentee ownership's not very good.
No, it's
so
not.
Until I settle in and do that for good. And I tell you, I have really been re-energized and enthused about the year here. I'm sorry we didn't have a better year for Coach Eilert, and they've made a change, and hired Darren DeVries from Drake, who I think will be very good. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I really enjoyed being back with the players on the court. And the timing has not been right in recent years, and I was really lucky that this worked out. And just I was thrilled to be on the sideline. Not thrilled the way we got our fannies beat, but I really enjoyed being back on the floor.
Are you staying? Or are you going to keep your position?
I don't know yet. I'm a philosophical believer, and I know both you guys are in coaching. I'm a philosophical believer that every head coach ought to have the right to hire whoever he wants and have control over the staff that has an impact on his program. So I don't know what Coach DeVries is going to do. I visited with him some in person and on the phone about the players and the program, but we have not sat down and talked about what he's going to do with his staff, and I don't expect him to. He's got a lot going on right now.
What does a senior advisor do? Do you just work with the seniors on the team?
I told Wren, he called me, he goes, what do you think about a title? And I said, Well, one thing I don't want any part of, don't put special in there anywhere. No special. I said, no special assistant, no, I don't want any special advisor. And he said, well, what do you think about senior advisor? And I said, I really don't like that either. And he said, why? And I said, because you'll be calling me senior citizen every day instead of senior advisor. So basically what I was, Jerry David, was, you know, I'm just I'm an assistant to the head coach, and to help the assist. We had a very young staff. We had three guys that was their first time on the floor. We had one guy who'd been on the floor a half a year with Coach Huggins last year. So we had a really young staff. So I just tried to assist in any way that Coach Eilert or the coaches wanted, whether it be looking at out-of-bounds plays, reviewing tape, whatever they wanted. So it was kind of an A to Z type situation, but one that I enjoyed, and just tried to help those guys, but also stay in my lane and not overstep, because you know, it was a tough year the way it happened, and it was tough for Coach Eilert, and we had guys that were suspended early, we had guys that we couldn't get eligible, we had injuries. So it was the middle of January, I think we were seven games deep in the conference before we had our entire squad. So to be able to build chemistry and culture was very difficult for Coach Eilert.
All right, chemistry and culture brings me to NIL, because you see these teams in the NCAA tournament, and hardly any of them have guys that have been there, or very many that have been there 3 or 4 years. They're all, well, this guy was over there last year, and this is his third school and all that. How hard is it to develop chemistry with that type of situation?
Very difficult, very difficult. But it goes back to one thing that I think you two guys really believe in when you coach, and I think it's very prevalent, is evaluation is still so important. Number one, evaluation, is the player good enough to help you win, number one. Number two, do they have the character that you want in your program? And three, will they fit in your locker room, in your culture, and in your rotation? If you're going to have an NIL deal with a player, is that player going to be in your top? Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be in your top eight? So you're going to have to do some evaluations that I think have always been important. But now when you throw in the NIL aspect of it, the evaluation becomes even more paramount, because you have now, if you're paying a player a certain amount of money and he's not producing, then you've got a lot of people looking at you a little bit saying, well, what are you doing? You've paid this player a certain amount of money and he's not even getting off the bench.
Exactly. Yeah, and we had Joe's point guard. Did you notice that?
He kicked our tail up here. Joe Toussaint.
He really was. He's a rough guy. He's tough.
He's a warrior, and I want to say this. Grant did a wonderful job with the team this year coaching him, but he also, I think Grant did a really good job of fitting pieces together.
Yeah.
And both of you guys know, when you go back and look at, you can look at any of the teams that you have coached, or any of the teams that have been there, you've always kind of had a go-to guy. You've had somebody who was a great locker room guy. You've had somebody who was a spark plug off the bench. The pieces that you put together form that chemistry. And so whatever it is, whether it was in baseball or basketball, being able to fit those pieces together and then get them to all pull in one direction, because, I mean, there's an elephant in the room. You look around the room and everybody's wondering, well, what's that guy's NIL package? What's my NIL package? So you really got to be able to manage your locker room.
Is all that stuff pretty open out there, that Billy Bob's making $100,000?
Do the players know what each other's making?
Well, you guys, I'm not on social media. You guys are probably on social media. A lot of those young guys, they put a lot of stuff on social media.
Oh.
Most people, if we're recruiting the same point guard, his people that are representing him, they may be telling you the same number that they're telling me, but they might not be. So it's about recruiting. You got to know who you can trust, and you got to be able to call somebody up and say, hey Gary, what are you really willing to do for this young man? David, do you really want this point guard? Yeah. What am I getting into? So the evaluation and the knowledge and the experience of being in the business and trying to navigate the portal and the NIL is a challenge anymore. And you got players that are making more money than assistant coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I just want to thank you for bringing Grant McCaslin here when you were here. Because I promise you, Coach, that had something to do with him coming back here. And
well, he loved,
of course,
he loved,
CeCe's he from loved, here. CeCe was played
he
here.
He loved Tech. He loved Tech, and he met CeCe there. And they're a great family. I saw Grant and CeCe in Kansas City and got a chance to see the family and say hello to him. I'm proud of what Grant has done during the time. But I knew he was really, really good when we hired him. And he, you know, he was at Baylor as a walk-on. And he came to work our camps at Tech, and that's where Robert Beshear said, hey, this young man has really done a good job for us in camp. And back then, we didn't have very much money to hire that operations position. And Grant and I laughed about this last spring. He said, Coach, you remember what you paid me when I came to work? I said, yeah, I paid you $8,000. And I said, at the time, I thought it was too much.
Yeah. Well, he turned it into a gold mine.
And yeah, I told him, I said, yeah, you're doing pretty good now. I said, it worked out pretty good. But to your point, David, I appreciate the kindness. But Grant, that was a no-brainer. He came, did a great job for us at an entry-level position. We had him and Will Flemings. We had Robert Scher. We had a great group of guys. And then Grant, and we had Shannon Hayes. Grant really elevated and went on. But he developed some roots here. He developed some contacts. Obviously, met his wife, and you know, it was a great hire for Kirby and for Tech. And Grant will do he'll do great things there. And I think he's really happy.
All right, you said $8,000 back then. I'm sure that wasn't much money even back then. But nowadays, with what we're paying athletes, I guess. We're paying college coaches or coaches in general, football, basketball primarily, doesn't it seem a little extreme?
Well, Gary, you were a Power Five college baseball coach. David, you've coached at a high level. You look back and you think, boy, that wasn't a lot of money. I'm sure you all got stories, but I remember when Doc Sadler and I came to Lubbock and I took over, my base salary the first year at Tech was $80,000. And I kept telling Doc, I said, hey, Doc, I think we can get this job to where it'll be a $250,000, $300,000 job. I said, this is going to be a – and now how embarrassing is it to talk about that when the salaries are probably averaging the $3 million range. And I'm happy for these guys. But did I ever think that I'd be seeing college athletes make $1 million? No. But if you want to stay in this business, if you want to compete in this business, and we've got a long way to go to getting it right, but the NIL is and the portal is huge. But I go back to, hey, we're going to do it. You better evaluate properly. And I think two things could happen as we move along. I don't know what your guys' philosophy is, but I think one thing is you may not get long-term multi-year contracts with coaches because I think administrators and people are looking at, well, hey, you can flip the roster in 1 year. You can be bad 1 year, and if you get the right guys, you're going to be good because of the portal next year. So you may not be able to get 3 or 4 years to build a program. And Gary, to your point earlier, you don't get freshmen that stay there. I mean, you look at the young man from Houston that got hurt last night, Jamal Shedd. I mean, now he's a four-year player, and you've got to hurt for a young man that he epitomizes what we think college basketball is about. And I'm sorry he got hurt last night, but here's a four-year guy. You know, you got guys that, like you said, Gary, they've been at four different schools in 4 years.
Coach, can you stay with us one more?
I'm sorry I talk so much.
No,
yeah.
No, can you stay with us one more?
We're up against a break here. Can you hang with us?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back with more with Coach James Dickey.
Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I will tell you, the Cardinal Sports Center is absolutely an amazing store to me. I never would have dreamed in a million years that when you said Cardinals Sports Center, that it would have all the stuff they have today. You it's know, crazy.
Fashion, oh, it's, sunglasses, I mean, just name it.
They can do it all, and they still have all the great stuff, all the sports equipment you're looking for, and the trophies and the uniforms, but wonderful store, and go see them at, just outside the Loop
and
on
shoes.
Slide Road.
My gosh, they've got the shoes.
All kinds of shoes. They do a great job at Cardinals. All righty, Coach James Dickey is on the phone here with us. We hadn't even talked about the tournament much, Coach, the NCAA tournament.
Well, you brought up Shed, and you were at Houston for 4 or 5 years, weren't you?
Yeah.
Were you
yes,
for
sir.
Houston last night, or were you go, yeah, get them?
Well, I respect their team tremendously, and I'm really a big fan of Shed's because I've watched him over the years, and I always pull for the Big 12. I always pull for our member institutions. But one thing I wanted to say after going through the break, whoever's on your sales force out there, I want to hire them as my new agent because I'm telling you, that was a bunch of commercials there, and you all had some great sponsors. So
we are the sales force, me and Gary.
I want to know who your sales force is because I want to hire them to become my new agent.
Well, do you think that maybe we have too many?
Well, you,
that's the feedback we get.
You're talking to the sales force this morning.
Okay, well, I just want to say that, boy, you've got some great – and I remember some of those great people that are out there. I remember being at Cardinals. I remember eating at River Smith. I remember a lot of that, and I was just thinking, hey, that's a bunch of commercials in a small amount of time. So I was impressed by the quality and also the volume as well.
All locally owned, Coach.
That's what we
do. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's important. You know, that's one of the things that I always enjoyed about Lubbock. Even though we were a great sized city, we had a small town community feel, and I always loved that about Lubbock.
Just got a text said in capital Red Raider legend, and she wasn't talking about David and I. She's talking about you. She loves Coach Dickey.
I don't know anybody.
Jan Brewer.
Oh, yeah, Jan.
Oh, Miss Jan. Tell Jan I said hello.
You just did, Coach.
She took care of me for a lot of years out there. Her husband, they were great people, and she's always been great to me. And I've been lucky over the years to keep a lot of wonderful friends in the Hub City.
She's one of the greatest Red Raiders, I'm telling you. Greatest Red Raider fan. My gosh.
She loves them, that's for sure. He sure does.
All right, Coach, let's talk a little bit about the tournament. And, you know, you mentioned the Big 12. And, of course, all year long we heard over and over again, toughest league in the country. They got the best basketball in the country, but, you know, not even close.
Ever games, a Final Four
yeah,
game.
Yeah, and we're not any teams in the Elite Eight. What's the deal?
Well, a lot of it depends on the draw, you know, who you get matched up with. And when you look at some of our teams, when you look at the Big 12, they were based on really two things, defense and physicality. And when you talk about defense, you complement that with rebounding. And so there was not what I would say a lot of high-scoring teams when you get into – when you look at the Big 12, there's some – Baylor could certainly put up some points. TCU could put up some points, but not in and not out. In order to win, you're going to have to play great defense, and you're going to have to be very physical. When you get in the NCAA tournament, depending on what the whistle is, if you get a tight whistle, and the possessions are obviously a smaller margin when you get in the tournament, if you don't score enough points, you're not going to advance. So I worried about this a little bit with our teams going in. In fact, I thought maybe a team like Texas, who really played great against Tech when they came out there, they played great against us and Austin. Those kind of – TCU could put up some points. Kansas was not the Kansas that we've known this year. Houston was extremely difficult to play both at home and on the road. And then Grant's team really got they were really good at defending. They shared the ball. They made shots. But you didn't have that team that really could just go out and put up a lot of points, say like a UConn or even a Tennessee who has some – they're great defensively, but they can score some points. There's some teams in this Elite Eight that can put some points on the board.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned, and we talked about the NIL and the transfer portal. You look at these players that are out there, and Gary and I've been we watch these games, and we're going, well, he was at Tech. Well, he was at Tech. I think we could take the guys that transferred and win the national championship.
Shannon's pretty good at Illinois.
He really makes
them a different team when they got him back, and he is probably one of the best open four players in the tournament now.
I agree with you.
He's like an NBA player when he gets going downhill, and he does a great job with body control, avoiding the charge. He can finish at angles. Obviously, he can dunk and get to the free throw line. He can score from the outside. He's just one of those guys that, you know, very difficult to defend. If you pick him up early in transition, he's going to beat you. If you wait too late, he's going to cross you over and break your ankles, and then he can jump over you. But I know you were talking about him. I know you were talking about McCullough, who left early and went to Kansas. I'm sorry that he got hurt this year. But, you know, Tech's had some guys out there that have transferred and done well.
We Golden, had Golden, players. Seven-footer.
Yeah, we had five players leave here after Coach Huggins left last year. We had five players, and all five of those players were the NCAA tournament, including Joe there at Tech.
Yeah. Well, we're glad we had him. We really
so were. The coach you came over there with, Coach, was only there 1 year?
Sir?
The coach you came over to coach with was only coach there
Allert?
1 year?
Coach Allert?
Wren didn't want to do a national search after – Coach Huggins' situation in the middle of June, the 1st of July last year. So he hired an interim coach for 10 months. And so I came on board to try to help. I didn't you talk about my title. I didn't advise very well, obviously. So that was a little bit
– Sorry, Coach Allert.
Yeah, that's a little bit disappointing, a little bit disappointing.
No, I know you did good. Where's Coach Huggins now? What's he doing?
Coach lives right here in town. I've talked to him a couple of times. He wants to get back in coaching. He's won 935 games. He's obviously already in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that getting to 1,000 is his motivating factor, or just the fact that he misses it like all of us do who get out and who are not ready to get out. I think he'd still like to coach. He's a native of West Virginia. He played here. Obviously, he'd been here for 17 years. I know that was tough for him to have to step away, but hopefully that he's gotten a lot better and he's very healthy and he'll get an opportunity to coach again.
Do you think he could coach again at a high level with the way things are nowadays with the NIL and these, you know?
I don't think there's any question that he would adjust to that part of it. I just think it's going to be after what happened at Cincinnati, after what's happened at here, will somebody be willing to give him a chance again?
Yeah, he's pretty rough on the exterior. He's probably a great
guy. I don't know if you've ever talked to him. He's really, really a smart guy. You don't win 935 games unless you make good decisions.
He can coach. There's no question about that.
Smart coach. Everybody, you know. His nickname is Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
He looks like this tall guy that you wouldn't want to pay for. He's always yelling at the players and the officials. But I knew him kind of in a different way. And just like guys that make mistakes, you feel for them. I went through it with Coach Sutton, and I've saw this from a little bit of a distance with Coach Huggins. So you feel for them. They've got a personal problem that's a disease, and hopefully they can get the right kind of help and get healthy and get back to doing what they like.
Well, real quickly before we leave that, Mark Adams had some issues too when he left here. I think, didn't he get a new job?
East Carolina.
No, I think
he got another new job.
Mark is assistant at East Carolina. We've shared text, and he's over to East Carolina. I'm sure Mark would like to call his own timeout. I'm not going to speak for him, but I think all of us that – are getting to the end of our careers, you'd like to try to make one more run and call your own timeouts if you get a chance. we're not as in demand as much as the younger guys. But if you get the right spot, if he wants to, I hope he'll get a chance to call his own timeouts again.
Maybe he was a finalist at Rio Grande Valley or something like that.
Rio Grande Valley.
I heard he's either a finalist for or got the job at UT Rio Grande Valley.
That's the place I want to go.
I don't think
the
they've hired
situation.
Down there. I don't think they've hired down there yet. And if you'll remember, Mark was the head coach there back when it was UT Pan American.
That's right. You're exactly right. I
did not know Pan Am turned into
Coach,
Rio Grande Valley.
Now that you say that, want to give it one more ride, sounds like Coach James Dickey. Is it your chance you could be the West Virginia head coach?
No. Okay. No, that will not happen. That will not happen. But maybe there's an opportunity out there. It has to be the right situation with the right people. And I didn't finish as strong at Houston as I would like to, and I understand that. But you got to get in the right place where people know you, where they feel like that you can bring something to the table. And there may not be that opportunity, but maybe if not, I can maybe find something in as far as an assistant. You know, I've talked with Darvin at different times over the years about do I want to go to the NBA, but that's a different one of the things up there is, boy, you know, a lot of guys that are coaches in the NBA have played there. They have been there for a long time. So that's a different level. But, you know, I've talked to some guys about that a little bit. I'd still like to work for a while. I've been blessed to stay healthy, and I've enjoyed it. And I really missed you know, being away from the game. Didn't realize I'd missed it as much as I did till I got up here.
Well, I do want to tell you, you know, I thanked you for bringing Grant McCaslin here, and you talked a little bit about him, but I called him yesterday to see if he'd be on the show with you. And, I didn't say with you, I didn't tell him that, but just to say, and I know he's probably at the tournament or recruit, I don't know where he is, but he's been really good to us and being on, but what he did this year, Coach, with this team and the way it started for him, it was absolutely phenomenal. And everybody thinks that I've talked to. They all think he did an absolutely marvelous job coaching this team this year. And because we had trouble. We lost our big man for 5 or 6 games, and we weren't very big. And it's a tough league to play in when you're not very big.
Well, I think one of the things that he did a great job in what you're talking about is he adjusted to what he had. When he had the big guy in there, they played a different way. When he had to go smaller, he made the adjustment. I thought he did a great job mixing in his guards on the penetrating pitch. He put his shooters in the right place. They did a really good job of rebounding for not being a big team. I was really impressed with the defense, especially when you don't have a rim protector and you don't have a shot blocker. It really changes your defensive scheme. It doesn't allow you to get out there and pressure as much and maybe play as relentless on the perimeter because you don't have the help behind you. So you've got to adjust defensively. And I think that's what really good coaches do. And I think that's what Grant did. And I think he's a terrific fit and he'll recruit well. The community will support him in terms of NIL. They've got wonderful facilities, which I've always been proud of the Spirit Arena, and now they've got the Womble Center. So, and I always said this, and you guys have been there, you love it, and I'm speaking to the choir and the congregation a little bit here, but now once you get to Lubbock and you get on the campus, I mean, it's beautiful. I remember Andre Emmett. I told him, I said, if you'll just come, you'll love it. And he and his mom hadn't been there more than 3 or 4 hours, and he was ready to commit. But unless you have been there and see it, you don't really know what a special place. And then when you get ingrained in the community and know what the quality of the people and also right now, the fan base is tremendous. That's one of the great home court advantages, not only in the Big 12, but one of the great home court advantages in the country. And I'm glad to see the fans take such great pride in being Red Raiders.
Well, they are. They're awesome. They do a great job. All right, Coach. The Elite Eight, UConn, Illinois, Alabama, Clemson. That's a little bit of a surprise, isn't it? Duke, how about North Carolina State, the run they've been on? That's been amazing. And Purdue, Tennessee, they're the only one that held true to form, 1 and 2 in the Elite Eight.
I think the only thing that we're guaranteed of this year in the Final Four is there's going to be an ACC team in the Final Four because that's the only thing we're guaranteed of. Going to be some great matchups. You guys have followed the tournament. The one thing that's amazing to me, you look at UConn, when you look at last year and this year, they've won 9 NCAA tournament games by 20 points or better. 9 straight games by 20 points or better. They've got to be the elite team in the field. You got to like them. It's going to be interesting with Duke and North Carolina State. North Carolina State's playing with house money. There's going to be a lot more pressure on Duke in that game. They split during the regular season. I'm sorry, they split the two games, one in the regular season, one in the ACC tournament. But I tell you, if Purdue gets a good whistle, if Purdue is able to shoot the ball from the perimeter, Edie presents a tremendous, because they're going to throw the ball inside. They're going to play the game inside out, and you're going to have to double-team the big fella, and he's a very good passer. If you let him get to the basket, he's going to make the jump hook. So I think they're a team. It depends on the whistle. If he gets 2 fouls in the first half, 3 quickly in the second half, it changes the way they play the game.
No doubt. All right, so UConn, odds-on favorite to win it. Illinois, they've surprised. They've really and Iowa State's been a. They've really played. They had a great year. They really did.
Illinois is one of those explosive teams, and Brad Underwood's really done a good job. We've talked about Terrence of how great he is. Not only is he great in the open floor. Now they go to him in the half-court sets, and he's the guy they put on the free throw line when they want somebody. They put the ball in his hands to get fouls. So. And then he had the 40-point game early in the conference tournament and the Big Ten tournament. I mean, he's an explosive player, and it gives them a chance because they can – and they've got a sense of toughness about them.
They do. Well, hey, Coach, you were awesome again.
Yep.
You're just awesome. You're every time good. We have you on, and we appreciate you.
Got about 15 seconds. You want to wrap it up for us this segment?
Hey, Gary, I told David when he called yesterday, I said it's a holiday weekend. You must be at the bottom of the barrel, but I am honored to be on your show, as always. Thank you, guys, and happy Easter.
You're the best. Happy Easter to you, Coach, and all your family.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right. Coach James Dickey.
You've been listening to the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3. Catch the show live Saturday mornings from 9 to noon on Double T 97.3 FM or on the Double T 97.3 mobile app.